bless you, my brother. Do you love Jesus today? Come on, do you love Jesus today? Would you clap your hands and lift your voice and let him know? Hallelujah! I worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I know that Sister Sanders came to be with the ladies for ladies' retreat. And I get to carry her luggage. But I came to be with y'all. Amen. And I'm glad to be here. I love the people in the kingdom of God in Alaska because you're real. Amen. I love real people. I don't even like fake leather. Genuine imitation. Something wrong with that. I'm so glad y'all are real. Amen. Aren't you glad your brother, your sister beside you is real? They're the real thing. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you be seated. I'm going to show you just a little bit of what is happening in Hawaii. Then my girls, my wife, are going to sing. And some of you ladies found out that Brother Chavis was a hunk. You discovered that I am the chunk. But that's all right. Amen.
He ain't got nothing on you, baby.
God's doing some awesome things in Hawaii. We started our church 15 years ago this coming July on the windward side. And if you were here on Tuesday, you would have heard that I started teaching Bible studies at Starbucks. And we didn't always reap from Starbucks. I know I told you some exciting stories about it, but in three years, the over 500 Bible studies taught in that one Starbucks, and we didn't reap 500 people. And I just told you some exciting stories. And it wasn't always that we had everyone I taught receive the Holy Ghost in Starbucks. In fact, very few did. But God blessed us, and we reaped where we did not sow. And so I could walk in Starbucks at that time, and on any given evening, there would be several people. One night I went into Starbucks, and I never sat down. I never ordered my coffee. My coffee was brought to me, and there we counted over 50 people that called me their pastor at Starbucks. That never came to my church. And so, in starting the church, there was challenging situations. We became houseless, as my girls say, don't say homeless. But we were houseless for a year and a half. We moved over 35 times, I think it was, in a year and a half. Didn't have a house to live in. And thank God for wonderful children and a great wife who's willing to do anything for the kingdom of God. And so a year and a half into that, I told God, I said, if we don't have an address for our kids to go to school, then I'm just going to take it as if it's your sign for us to leave. Now, we were having revival. And Sister Sanders has often said that we would go to church and we would worship and we'd have a move of God like we had the greatest house on the beach, you know. And then leave and have a house to go to. And was at its challenging times. But 2 days before school started, we moved into a house. Amen. And 2 weeks later, Brother Keys sent his young people to Hawaii, and 35 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So God has blessed us tremendously. And so it was about a year, five years ago, into this church. And for a number of years, God had impressed me that we were to start a church in the city of Honolulu. And so I interrupted my service at about 3:30. I'll just say about 3:30. I may have been 3:27, 3:18, something like that. But it was a hot service, and I could get pretty specific if I just look. I could get pretty specific about the time. But I'm casting my vision. I mean, a hot service. We were worshiping and shouting and dancing. But I knew God had called us to start a church in the city of Honolulu. So I interrupt the service right in the middle of the worship. And I said, "We are going to Honolulu." And I preached my message about the vision to go to start a church. And while I was casting that vision, I said, "We are going to Honolulu." I said, "God is shaking that city." When I said that, our building began to shake. And eyeballs got great big. And I'm sure my eyeballs got great big. And Brother Ben Vinoy says, "Was that the air conditioner?" And I said, "No, that was God's exclamation point on what I just said." So I just double-checked last night. That earthquake registered 3.6 on the Richter scale. They were excited to tell me, "Pastor, the epicenter of that earthquake was the city of Honolulu." Hallelujah. God was shaking that city. I said, let me change that. God is shaking that city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we found a building that they wanted $500 an hour for. I put the picture on the big screen, told the church that's where we're going. They gasped, "How are we going to do that?" Well, praise the Lord, they reduced the rent. Hallelujah. To $250 an hour plus tax. Then they raised it back up. Then they reduced. But praise the Lord, we raised 4 weeks worth of service, moved into that city, and God has blessed us tremendously in the city of Honolulu. Amen. And so I have just a quick video that I want you to see. Now we are pastoring 3 churches, 2 preaching points, and God's doing some awesome things. Just check out what's going on the screen. Thank you. denominal pastor, Samoan denominal pastor. A 7-foot professional boxer. Dead boy raised. It's one of our preachers. Assembly of God evangelist and her husband. This is in a denominal church altar area.
In the name that is above every name, in the name, the only name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we, everybody say, must be saved.
I'm out of the water speaking in other tongues. Her husband. He later received the Holy Ghost when the youth on missions trip was there. This is his mother. She came out of the water speaking in other tongues. And when we get home, we're baptizing her mother, 84 years old, in Jesus' name. Well, clap your hands to the Lord. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Amen. God's doing some awesome things in Hawaii. And we started our church before We were approved under Metro Missionaries. We are now Metro Missions, which is a blessing. At the same time, you have to travel to raise that support to make it happen. And quite frankly, when you're doing all of that, it's hard to leave and travel. And so we have not, as of yet, raised our total support. And if you, as you're in, under the guidance of your pastor, want to do something in that area, then talk to your pastor. Amen. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I love Brother Chavis and I, and our wives have commented probably several times every day concerning your pastor and the ministry that is here, the integrity, the character. I appreciate that very, very much. And I very much agree with Brother Jonathan Bagwell, how he feels about Brother and Sister, I start to say Abbott. Them too. My brain totally went blank. Brother and Sister Clover. Dear Lord. Now that's a good sign that you better pray that I can preach today. Amen. Amen. So God's doing some awesome things. I mentioned to you that the Assembly of God evangelist and her husband, God, well, she was having a sickness, and she came to our church on a Sunday morning. He was the world's fastest man in the 1968 Olympics. And so on this morning, she came to our church and said that she knew where to go to get a miracle. And so we prayed for her, and at the time we were praying for her, God gave her a vision of his throne. And she said giant angels were lining the throne. And so she left that day. God did touch her. But there was this voice, this nagging thing that kept telling her, it is not over. It's not finished. It's not over. So 3 weeks later, she comes to our service to find out what had not been finished. And so God had given me a message on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I was going to preach from Holy Bible to genuine leather. I mean, everything about the... When she walked in, I didn't want to be offensive, and so I wrestled with, should I preach the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, thank God, the Word won. Hallelujah. And so I preached the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is Alpha, Omega, the first, the last. He who was, is, and is to come. The Almighty. And so I preached it. The whole time I'm preaching, she's sitting beside my wife and her husband, between them, and she's writing notes and she's crying. And she's writing notes and she's crying. I'm thinking, man, she's crying because she thinks I'm a heretic. And then I give the altar call, and she comes to the altar, and she is in travail, and she is just bent over, and she is sobbing. And I'm thinking she's really praying that God could save me because I'm in such heresy. That's really where my mind was. And the end of service came, and I was getting ready to dismiss the service, and she says, Pastor, can I testify? And I'm like, oh, it's either going to be a rebuttal or an embrace. And so I stepped over to her kind of like this and held on to the microphone. And she starts crying and says, I finally met my Abba. 58 years I didn't know who my father was. I used to separate my father from my Jesus. Now I know my Jesus is my father. Hallelujah. And God gave her a revelation of who he is. And we baptized her and her husband in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands to the Lord and praise
praise Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated.
I want to thank this church for all that you are, everybody that comes through your doors. I so appreciate my husband and the passion for the work of God that he has in Hawaii. And it's my father's homeland, but I thank the Lord that my husband got a burden to come and to work in the islands, and the love that he has for the people there. And they feel that, they know that. But as the Glovers know, that sometimes when you're doing the work of God, you're spent, you give your all, and sometimes can wear, have a toll, take a toll on your body. And so we've come here now 2 times, just needing just the strength of the Lord, I'll say. But as we give to this district and then also to this church, the Lord, just all that you are and all that you give to the Lord has just blessed us. And it's been enriching to us. And as even as we give, by your faithfulness and by your love and passion for God and for each other, it just gives us rest. And so I so thank you for the presence of God that you display in this place. And I'm thankful for my husband as well, willing to do the work of God. And how blessed am I to live in my favorite place and do the work of God, call it ministry. Amen. And so if we could look into the heart of God and we could see that the passion that he has for people that are lost and dying in this world. I heard somebody pray, God, give me your heartbeat for this service. She was leading the music, and I said, that's it. If we could key into the heartbeat of God. And so I get up, and I've got a busy day ahead of me, but I say, try to say to the Lord, what would you have me do today? Now, I got all this stuff on my list, and I got a lot of things, and I go through my day, and I plow through it, but sometimes he just wants us to stop and to listen to him, to hear the cry of a broken heart. Somebody that we pass every day on the job or in a grocery store, and I want to hear the heart of Jesus. I want to know the heart of Jesus so that I can fulfill his mission. Am I enough? In my mind, no, but God says I'm all that he needs me to be to do a work through me. Amen.
Now that we're here in your presence, humbly we bow, speak to us now. Now that we're here in your presence, that we're here in your presence, humbly we bow,
oh Lord,
speak to us now. Now that we're here in your presence, oh,
what we say,
we're open, we're open, we're open, speak to us now, oh, we're open, we're open, we're open.
Your heart.
so we hear what the Lord wants from us. And we see a world that's lost and dying. Sometimes it's hard to get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's hard to say, I am enough, Lord. Everything that I have, I give to you, because I know you will anoint me and you will use me. But sometimes we look in the mirror and say, I'm just not enough, God. What about her? She's a little bit better than I am. She speaks a little bit better than I do. What about him, Lord? He's educated. He's respected in this community. So we got to get to the point that we say, Lord, we will go.
Lord, we will go.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand around this sanctuary with me right now? Would you lift your heart to Him? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. I appreciate the scripture that was read earlier. And I'm terrible with names, but I wish I could talk like this young man. Where'd he go? He disappeared.
On the right. On the right. Behind Brother
Bagwell. Where is he?
Behind Brother Bagwell. On the right.
He's downstairs. Okay. I tell you, that guy, if I could smile like him when I preach, that guy is blessed. And I appreciate the scripture that he read. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. You know, God keeps secrets. But he's got special people that he reveals his secrets to. They are kings and priests in his kingdom. I don't know about you, but I want to be a king. I want to be a priest in the kingdom of God. It's my honor to search out the things of God. David put it like this: one thing have I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why, David? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to search out, to get to know. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. The secret place. If I say the secret place, shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis. And then we'll go to the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. So Genesis and then Luke. And then perhaps if we get there, the book of Revelation. Genesis 13 verse 8. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we are brethren. Everybody say, we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward.
and they separated. Everybody say separated. Themselves one from another. Everybody say separated. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, I'm unworthy to stand before you, but God, I ask you right now to speak to your people. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, let us have ears to hear your word, hearts to receive it. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to respond to your word. In the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Say, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated after you shake hands with at least one person and tell them, I'm glad Brother Sanders is preaching today. I got me a preacher helping me over there. And that doesn't bother me. In fact, he probably encouraged me today. Amen. You ever taken too much baggage? If you don't tell Sister Sanders, we went to Bethel this last weekend. And Brother Barnhill, no, Bradbury. Nobody be offended. As long as I get Jesus' name right, I'm okay. And my wife's. And so Brother Bradbury threw his back out, chunking my wife's luggage. You ever carry too much baggage with you? You know, I got things I brought on this trip that I haven't wore. And I don't think I will wear them. I just brought too much. Well, I was prepared because my wife was praying. And when she prays for snow, 2 years ago you got snow when you wasn't supposed to have snow. And Brother Bradbury, right? Yes. Brother Bradbury, he said, it's not going to snow in Bethel. We hadn't had any snow. It's not going to snow. He took his snow plow off. A couple hours later, it was snowing. But sometimes we take just things we don't really need and we'll never use. And you know, God knows the things that we really need and the things that would become a distraction to us. And God looked down and he saw this man by the name of Abram, and he said, I need him. I can use him. His heart is towards me and he will. This is why God chose Abraham. You ever wondered why God just looked at the world and chose this guy named Abram? You ever wondered that? I'll give you the specific reason why. It's scriptural. You ready? God chose Abram because he would command his children in the ways of the Lord. That's what the book says. He would command his children in the ways of the Lord. He wouldn't give them options. He wouldn't say, well, when they get a little older, they can decide for themselves. He was going to command his children in the ways of the Lord. God, give us parents that are willing to command their children in the ways of the Lord. You want to be chosen by God, be willing to command your children in the ways of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God didn't choose Abraham because he was perfect. In fact, the opposite's true. He was very imperfect. But he knew that he would command his children in the ways of the Lord. And he called him out of Ur, the Chaldeans. And he said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your brethren. Leave house. Leave home. And leave kindred is how the scripture puts it. But Abraham took too much baggage. He did. He took too much baggage. He took this guy named Lot. His kindred. God said, leave your kindred. But Abram took Lot.
And he was his nephew. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to really understand that God calls us and says, you got to lay aside some things. And we don't always like the lay aside stuff because we become attached to things. We love the things and stuff. Amen? And when I'll just be honest with you, I was going through a time. I go through a lot of times. Maybe y'all don't. But I was going through a time in my ministry and I was like a big boy. Well, I am a big boy, just a little older of a big boy today. And I wanted race car tracks. So I'd go in the store. Now I'm pastoring. It's not like I was 12 years old. I'd go in a store and I'd go straight to the race car tracks. I'd go in a secondhand store. I'd be digging through stuff, finding race car tracks. I bought big race car tracks. I bought little race car tracks. I bought not so expensive race car tracks, and I bought cheap race car tracks. I bought race car tracks that fit together, and I bought race car tracks that didn't fit together. I got race car tracks that worked and some race car tracks that did not work. I had this drive for race car tracks. I bought race car tracks I played with, and I bought race car tracks I didn't get to play with. But I had to have these race car tracks. And then one day, the Lord impressed me that it wasn't a void of race car tracks. It was a something void in my relationship with God. We don't like that, do we? So I had to shed some race car tracks. And we had Sunday school contests and gave race car tracks away. And we have, you know, there are some things we need to lay aside. And God had a plan for Abraham. And Abraham, it was difficult to leave kindred. Don't point your finger at Abraham and criticize too harsh on him, because all of us find ourselves there where either we take the baggage with us, or along the way somewhere we pick the baggage up. But Abraham's baggage was something that caused him not to be able to see the promises of God very clearly. And God was able to show him the whole time that Lot was with him. Every place your foot steps, that is going to be yours. And so he could see the promises, but he could only see where his foot steps. And God could only say, wherever you put your foot is what I'm giving to you. Now we say hallelujah. And we'd be running around as far as we could run, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And when we got tired, we'd just ask somebody, move my feet for me. Amen? But God had much more planned for Abraham than where his foot would step. But in order for him to find out what he had, there had to be an uncovering. There had to be a removal of baggage. There had to be something removed from Abraham's life so God could show him. Abraham wasn't a bad guy. He just had to lay aside some weight. He had to lay aside something that was causing him to only be seeing where his foot stepped. What Abraham actually took was a veil. You say, what? Abraham took a veil with him. And it was in front of his eyes constantly. He couldn't see. And I was amazed in studying this, that the name Lot means veil and covering. And so in the promise that God had made to Abraham, he walked around through his journeys, only being able to see where his foot could step. And that's what God could tell him. The way your footsteps, that's what I'm going to give you. Because you're not able to see because you've brought a veil with you that has caused you not to be able to lift your eyes and be able to see clearly. The promises is much bigger than your footsteps. Don't just satisfy and be content with where your footsteps, Abraham. There's a veil that's covering you. There's something hindering you from seeing the real promises that I have laid out for you. And when Abraham separated himself from Lot and removed the veil, you read on the next verse. It says, God said, lift up your eyes. And as far as you can see, that is what I'm giving to you. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, there are baggages that we bring along with us that prevents God from unveiling and from uncovering the secrets. Sometimes it's an attitude. Your Lot may be not your nephew, but an attitude or a house or a car or a reputation that's got you veiled. All you can see is your feet. God said, separate yourself. Remove the veil. God is in the business of giving revelation to His people. But in order for someone to receive a revelation, they got to remove a veil. And sometimes it's, who am I going to be? That is the veil. If you would turn with me to the book of Luke. I'm not sure if that clock has moved. I do want to get across what I'm trying to say. I'll try to hip and tuck here and there. But I want you to hear what I feel like God has given to me for you. And again, this young man opened this scripture and confirmed it to me. Opened with this scripture. Thank you. And thank you for smiling while I'm preaching. In fact, you ought to come up here and sit and smile so they see a smile. Wow. Just kidding. Let's start reading with verse 7. Chapter 22 of Luke. Verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John. Everybody say Peter and John. Two of his greatest disciples, if you could really put it that way. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Peter gave the great proclamation of who Jesus was. Had the revelation. Amen. And John was the beloved. And God was going to entrust him with a great revelation in the future. Amen? So these two men were key in the kingdom of God. He sent them to go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? Did you know that not every preacher has every answer? They were great men of God, but they didn't know where to go. Don't get upset when your pastor reaches a point where he doesn't know where. Why? Because God's got a plan. And the plan is that that pastor doesn't know where at that time. He doesn't know which way to go. Are you sure? Oh yeah. Even in the Old Testament, the old prophet said, neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do, but it didn't mean that's out of the will of God. God's getting ready to show them. God's getting ready to give them a revelation. But there may be something they need to lay aside. There may be. You hear what I'm telling you today. God will give us direction. Now listen to what happened here. Two men God sent in to prepare for the supper. They said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" Verse 10. He said unto them, "Behold, when you enter into the city, there shall be a man meet you there." Everybody say amen. Amen. He does not have a name, so we will call him Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. He's just Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Man, I'm glad y'all are with me today. I feel that support. Say it again. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Be amen. Meet you there. He will be bearing a pitcher of water. Does not say he'll be wearing a royal robe. Does not say he'll be in a palace. It says he'll be carrying a pitcher of water, which means he's just a man that is a servant. He doesn't have a position. He's not a somebody. He's just a man who is a servant. Follow him. Did you know that these two preachers needed a servant? Needed a man that would just be willing and content to be a servant. There are so many people who have to be in a position when God is looking for people who are willing simply to serve. He's looking for people that are willing, they don't have to have their name written. They're willing to just be a man who's willing to carry a pitcher. Doesn't have to sit in the palace. But he was a servant. And he told these two preachers, "You follow that servant. He knows where to go." God, give us people that are willing to serve. You say, "Brother Sanders, what do you mean?" You look back at the first miracle that Jesus did. Nobody knew how the water was turned to wine, but the Bible points out the servants knew. You hear what I'm telling you? The servants knew. God, give us men that are willing to be servants. Give us young men that are willing to carry a pitcher. Give us ladies that are willing to serve, because they're going to know the secrets of God. They're going to know how the waters turn to wine. They're going to know where to take the man of God to prepare for the supper of God. Shandoria Taramahaya. Just a man carrying a pitcher of water. He said, "Follow him." Our pastors need men that they can follow. Our preachers need men who know how to serve, who will not threaten the kingdom of God, but also know how to lead and give direction to the man of God. Hear it? Just a man. Just a man. Follow him to the house where he enters. And ye shall say unto the good man. Everybody say the good man. So we met just a man. But we got to the house of a good man. Everybody say a good man. Hallelujah. This guy had his house. This guy was the good man of the house. That the man, that a man served in. This was the good man of the house. We need some good men. If I was preaching a men's conference today, this is what I'd be preaching. We need some good men. I said we need some good men who have opened their house to the Lord. Who have prepared the place for the Lord. I'll get off of that. He said, "You say to the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" And the good man showed him the large upper room furnished And there, they made it ready. When he found it, they made ready the Passover. Verse 13. The hour was come. He sat down, Jesus, with his 12 apostles. Verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire have I desired to have this, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With desire. In other words, a man took the disciples to a good man's house where they made ready and prepared the desire of the Lord. You hear what I'm telling you? There was just a man and a good man who opened the house. A man knew the directions. The good man opened his house to make ready the desire of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to see his desire. Not just his desire, but the desire of his desire fulfilled. He said unto them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. You can't point out everything in the scripture, but aren't you glad that Jesus looked into the cup that his blood would be shed on a cruel tree of Calvary and gave thanks? He gave thanks seeing what was coming his way. Looked into the cup and gave thanks. Enough said. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of this vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread and he gave thanks. Everybody say, gave thanks. And he break it. Aren't you glad he looked at the bread which was representing his broken body and gave thanks? I'm telling you, Jesus set the example for the will of God in our lives. In everything, give thanks. When you're looking at a cup that is bitter, give thanks. When you're looking at a body that is broken, give thanks. Come on. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament, in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on this table. Verse 22, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it is determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Verse 23, and they began to inquire among themselves, one of the greatest revelations is getting ready to happen. Jesus is talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. He's showing them, my body's going to be broken and I'm doing it for you. And he says, I'm thankful that I'm doing this for you. He says, my blood's getting ready to be shed and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to shed my blood for you. And all of a sudden, at the table of revelation, something happens and they become distracted and begin to inquire. And the word inquire there means to investigate. to see who it was that's going to betray him. It's you, isn't it? It's not me. It's you. It's you. I know you. Begin to investigate one another. And when they began to investigate one another, the whole subject matter changed. They put on a veil. God getting ready to give the greatest revelation. And they put on the veil. Now watch this. Verse 24. And there was strife among them. So the investigation started. Strife came. And the strife was over which of them should be accounted as the greatest. When just a man who was a servant led them to this table of revelation. And a good man opened his house. And God begins to give them this revelation of his desire. And they change the subject to who gets to be the greatest. Who is it that gets to be the somebody? Who is it? Never do they get back to the subject. They never make it back to the revelation of the supper. They never get back to the revelation table. Jesus has to address their veil of who is going to be the greatest. Listen, the rest of the chapter is addressing this. He said unto them, kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them that exercise authority upon them that are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth. You see, he never got back to the revelation. I wonder. Because if you read on, it gives indication. You read on. It was in that time, that setting, that Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. When the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. I wonder if they had not been distracted by the veil of who was going to be the greatest and they had received the revelation from the table of revelation. I wonder if they would have ever scattered in fear. I wonder if they had understood that Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to lay down my life. It's not them going to take it. I'm going to lay it down. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to do it for you. But distracted by who gets to be the greatest, who gets to stand in the pulpit, who gets to play the piano, who gets to do this or that. It's my turn. What about me attitude? You're going to deny me, Peter. Could it be because they didn't receive the revelation? For the rest of the days, until Luke 24, Jesus is getting ready to ascend into the heavens. He's dead. He's resurrected. And he's getting ready to ascend. In Luke 24, the scripture says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. The veil was removed so they could have the revelation. Hallelujah. He was getting ready to entrust them, but they had to go through the pain of failure. They didn't receive the precious revelation. Don't bitter yourself against the cross. The purpose of a cross is to remove veils. The purpose of a cross is to remove a veil. Are you sure? I'm positive. The purpose of a cross is to tear veils in two and to separate them so there can be a revelation given and an understanding. You say, are you sure? Oh, yes. And everybody has to have a cross. Jesus said, you can't follow me unless you take up your cross and follow me. You don't take up my cross of redemption. You pick up your cross, because your cross is going to tear a veil in two and open up the mercy seat like my cross did for you. Jesus was crucified on a cross. It served its purpose. Purpose of the cross, yes, though it was redemptive, had more than just redemption, purchasing our salvation. The purpose of that cross was to rent a veil and let the secret place be seen by all humanity. To remove a veil. Said, Brother Sanders, this is a mean message. Oh no, I'm not preaching this because there's church trouble. I'm preaching this because you got an opportunity to never pick that baggage up. You hear what I'm telling you? There was an awesome spirit of worship in this place. That doesn't happen unless there's unity in the house. With desire, the Lord desires to come and sup at this table with you. Don't lose it by getting distracted by a veil. Who gets to be the greatest? The cross enables you to follow him. Your cross enables you to follow him. Without your cross, you can't follow him. That's the words of Jesus. You got to lose your life to find it. That's the words of Jesus. The greatest in the kingdom is going to be the servant. Let me help you with something real quick. You believe Jesus was 100% God? Come on, you believe that? You believe he's 100% man? I do too. Now check this out. Jesus took his cross. He didn't carry it all the way to Calvary. In fact, he stumbled. He fell. And they grabbed another guy. I said, you carry the cross. I don't have time to get into all the names. I'm a name guy. I love to study names. You study that name. It's awesome. I can't remember names, but I... Don't you be a veil. No. No, I'm just joking. I hope that wasn't recorded. They grabbed another guy who was willing to come under perfect God's cross. And who do we think we are to think that if he couldn't carry his cross all the way to Calvary, that you can carry your own cross the entire distance? We need our brother and our sister to help us come under the load and burden of our cross, because if it was too heavy for the man Christ Jesus, who was a perfect man, how much more vulnerable are we to a heavy, burdensome cross? And when he was crucified on that cross, he gave up the ghost. From the top to the bottom, the veil was rent in twain, revealing the holy place, exposing the mercy seat, the secrets of God that not the common eye could get to see, but only his chosen, the kings that could. I'm telling you, you open that in the will of God. Only the king's honor to see the secrets of God. Your cross will do the same for me. I don't know how you carry your cross. They asked my wife and I, how did you get through the loss of your child? I'm closing. And Sister Sanders, you, or somebody better come to the piano so I don't forget I'm closing. Otherwise, they'll never have me back to Alaska. And I know Hawaii's your favorite place, but I'm questioning mine right now. They asked the question, how'd you make it through the loss of your child? The death of your baby. How could you deal with that? She's almost 2 years old. I was devastated. I was floored. I felt so devastated by it. It was a cross I had to carry. It was a cross. I don't have the time to get into all of what we think helped us to get through it. But this is what I do know. 6 months later, we were in the kingdom of Jordan as missionaries. We'd left everybody, all of our support group. Thankful for a wife. I said, baby, if you don't feel like we can go, the church where we were pastoring, begging us to stay, you don't have to go. Foreign Mission said you can stay. You don't have to go. Brother and Sister Reed said, we understand. But I said to my wife, if you don't feel like we can go, we don't have to go. She said, if it was the will of God before Ashley died, it's the will of God now. And so we left. We get there. Shortly after we arrived, we met a couple who had lost a child. But there was a veil that had been rent in my life. You understand what I'm saying? Where I could minister to that couple. Does that make sense? There was a revelation that I got that they needed. Just like that revelation of the veil being rent in twain, where the blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat. And now the world can see it. Your cross serves many purposes, and one of them is to rent a veil in your life. Makes you vulnerable. Exposes you for the real you. But it gives you ministry above and beyond what you ever dreamed that you could have. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to take up the cross. If you don't pick up the cross, you can't follow. He's not asking you to be crucified and shed your blood for salvation of man. No, he may be asking you to carry the cross of a sickness. You say, is there sin? No, that's not what it is. Sometimes God allows sickness in our lives that the glory of God might be manifest. You sure? I'm positive. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said these words, Lazarus is dead and I am glad. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad. For your sakes. Because you had to get to this point where you would never know God like you're getting ready to know him now. Mary, I'm close to you and Martha. And I loved Lazarus. But he is dead. And I am glad. For your sakes, because I'm getting ready to unveil something. You're getting ready to know me like you never dreamed you could ever know me. Move the stone! He stinks. Lazarus! Come forth. Let me tell you something. He didn't ask him, do you believe I'm able to raise him from the dead? I thought I was going to preach on faith this morning. I can't get in that. He did not ask, do you believe I'm going to? He simply asked, do you believe I am? And we beat our faith up because we think that we have to believe God's going to do something. But the Bible doesn't say that. He did not ask Mary and Martha, do you believe I'm going to raise him from the dead? He said, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? Amen. And they said, yes, we believe you are. Lazarus, come forth. And they knew God like they'd never known him before. But they had to carry the cross of the death of a loved one. Let's stand. Brother Sanders, why'd you preach this today? I believe God gave this to me because there's potential sitting on this front row. And they've pulled themselves up to a table where God wants to give these young men revelation. Are there some good men that'll follow a servant, lead a pastor to the place where the revelation can be given to these young men? You hear what I'm telling you today? God wants the veil to be removed. So when the tough times come and you're facing the crucifixion, they've got the revelation and they don't have to run and hide in fear. They don't have to deny him 3 times and then recover from the great fall. Was not until Jesus said at supper that he told them those things. Whoa. Would you lift your hands right where you're standing? God, give us a revelation. Would you ask God, is there anything in my life that would hinder me from knowing, hinder me from seeing beyond where my feet are stepping? You see, sometimes we can't see beyond the immediate because our eyes are veiled from the future. Come on, would you lift your heart to him right now? How about you, young ministers? How about you, young ministers' wives? God wants to give you a revelation. Oh, John had to carry a cross all the way to an isle called Patmos. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day with pain racking his body. He saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you join me in this altar area? Go ahead and let tears run down your face right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, slide in with me.
In the secret place.
God wants to reveal some secrets to you today. I said, God wants to reveal some secrets to you. Is there a king that will pursue him? Is there a priest that will pursue him? Who's going to step up to be honored to pursue the secrets of God? It's the honor of the king. I know his God.
I desire you.
The honor of the king to search out God. It's the honor of royalty to know his secrets. Would you reach over to somebody? Let's make our way to his throne room together. Reach over and lay your hand on the shoulder of a friend. We're not going to examine one another. We're going to escort one another to the throne room. We're not going to examine. We're going to carry our brother's cross. We're going to come under the burden and load of our brother's cross. If Jesus couldn't carry his cross, who are we to think that we can handle our own?
It's where I abide. More I long to be by your side.
In the name of Jesus.
It's where I
go ahead, pray in the Holy Ghost. With desire, the Lord has desired to come to this table today.
I desire you in all.
With desire,
I do,
has he desired.
My soul thirsts for you.
It's not about who we are, it's about who he is. Come on, go ahead, cry to Him. Tears are a language He understands. You're going to know God like you've never known Him before. But there's some crosses you've got to pick up. Crosses serve the purpose of renting veils. They rent veils.
I praise Your name. Praise Your name. I praise Your holy name.
They tear flesh.
I praise Your name.
The cross tears flesh. It rents the veil.
I praise Your name. I praise Your name. Praise Your holy name.
Will tear your flesh.
Praise Your name.
Destroy the luggage and baggage you brought.
Praise Your holy name.
So the glory and power of God can be manifest in you.
Oh, my praise.
It's His desire. Right here at the table of revelation.
Oh, my worship.
God's going to show you things you never dreamed. You're going to know Him in a way you never dreamed you could know Him. Is there somebody willing to just be a man? A good man.
In the secret place of the Most High. It's where I abide.
I don't have to be.
I
don't have to examine my brother. I don't have to investigate him.
I long to be by your side.
Go ahead, let the Holy Ghost touch you. Go ahead, young men. Go ahead, young men. In the name of Jesus, let God touch you today. Let there be a revelation given to you. Lay aside the veil that's hindering. Lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Causes a stone we see our feet. Causes a stone we see where our footsteps. But give us a revelation of direction in our lives. Yo corriendo a Ramoko Shaya. Follow Him. It enables you. It's your ticket to follow Jesus. Your cross. It's a cross sometimes of humiliation, embarrassment. A cross sometimes of pain, confusion. It's a cross. In the name of Jesus. Cross. This is what I want you to do. I don't want you to pray about your cross right now. I want you to slide over to a brother or sister. You don't know how heavy their cross is right now. And if Jesus needed somebody to carry His cross, talking about a perfect God in flesh, needed somebody. Stumbled and fell. I wonder how heavy my brother's cross is today.